Ooh, okay, Rick Ross, I hear you, bruh. Welcome back to Please Excuse My Tone, episode 9. Ooh, we getting up there, fellas. We getting up there, as usual. I am Brandon Lessie, one of your three hosts. To the left of me is
Justin DeFoe.
And to the left of him is
Rico Kowalski. I'm bringing back the nickname. I'm bringing it back, guys.
Oh, my gosh, man.
You want to say your real name, too, for the people, man?
Akeem Thompson.
Thank you. Thank you, two names. Appreciate it.
Across, you got a smooth joint here.
All right. Enough of him. All right. Let's get into these topics right now, man. Cause we got a couple of big ones. Starting off with March Madness, of course. It's still March, and we're gonna talk about what's going on. Now, I know last week I came to you and talked about how I have a bracket for the ages, and you know it looked that way last week, but not so much this week. My champion pick, Duke, fell to South Carolina. Horrible. Let's see, who are they supposed to be facing? I had UNC. They made it, thank gosh. One of the two Final Four teams I had made it. I had Kansas. They were blowing away teams, dropping average of 91 throughout the tournament until they ran into Oregon. So they're done. And, you know, South Carolina is just finishing people on their end. And Gonzaga, I just had no faith in them at all. I honestly thought they were going to lose the Northwestern, I'm going to be real. But hey, sometimes you're wrong. I don't get paid by the prediction, people, okay? I'm just here to give my opinion.
Who you have winning again?
That would be Duke.
Duke? Oh, gosh.
Let me say it one more time.
When did they lose?
I'm sorry. Is your championship pick in it?
Sweet 16. We just lost in the Final Four, though.
I'm sorry. Are you in
eight.
It?
In the Elite Eight, sorry.
I'm sorry. Are you in it? Are you currently in it?
But you came out
before me. Are you currently in it?
But you came out before me.
That's not. I don't think.
Your pick came out before my pick.
A lot of people don't like
that. That's the only point I'm trying to make. Your pick came out before my pick. And when we was picking him, he was big and bad. Oh,
let me ask you something.
Duke is going to win.
Let me ask
you something. Duke is going to do this. Duke is going to do that.
Let me ask you something.
Didn't they get smacked?
Yeah. No. We lost by 7. Let me ask you something, I think.
How much my team lost by?
Excuse me. Let me ask you something. Are we both...
On like a buzzer beater, right?
Are Coach Calipari and Coach K going to be watching the Final Four in Arizona together or not?
You're on vacation right now, Mexico.
Exactly. Justice's team was on... His team, Villanova, was on vacation for my team. So what about him? All right? He has nobody in this Final Four.
This is between you and the king.
No. You're laughing over there. You're chuckling. So we're going to bring you in, all right? It's three of us here. Let's do it. None of your Final Four is in it. What's good? What's good, bro?
Yeah, it's tough on your back. You have nobody.
None of my Final Four is in. Obviously, Notre Dame lost way back when. Villanova saved.
Way back when.
Did any of your picks make it to this weekend?
Kentucky. Okay. And Kansas lost to Oregon, so
you almost got away with that one.
I almost got away with two. So,
all right, I had a feeling you guys were gonna get at me for this Duke pick because I was talking a lot of trash last week and the week before. But that's what I'm here for. I'm here to believe in my picks and my opinions, man.
I hear it.
But you know, there are some rules that I usually follow in picking champions and picking the Final Four, and I didn't follow it with Duke. That's because I believe in Coach K so much. So I'll get to it. Number one, veteran star point guard. Gotta have one. Normally, if you have one, you're on your way to the Final Four. Number two, Hall of Fame coaching. I put a lot on this Hall of Fame coaching with Coach K. So I really, really was like, this guy could really bring it. Duke doesn't have a point guard. Let's not even talk about veteran star point guard. They just don't have a point guard. But Grayson Allen is a great shooting guard. I just believe the team could get it together with the Hall of Fame coaching. Number three, which nobody really pays attention to, is game location. Now, none of us thought that South Carolina was going to be doing what they're doing. But when they played last weekend, they were playing in South Carolina, so that was really a home game for them. And their crowd came out, and the Gamecocks crowd supported the Gamecocks, man. Shout out to them. Shout out to Cinderella. You all got anything to add? Because I'm about to move on March Madness stuff.
You know, I had my first Cinderella, Michigan. They lost by 2.
You started eyeing them early, so I give you credit for that.
And, you know, South Carolina definitely surprised me. Like, I knew they were great defensively. But they were losing games towards the end of the season. You know what? Correct decision by the committee to put them in because they're definitely turning a lot of heads.
Are they a seventh seed? I don't know. I know they all of a sudden the tournament comes around, March comes around, and all of a sudden they're not just a defensive juggernaut. They are an offensive juggernaut, too. It's ridiculous. All right, let's go over. I think we have to talk about the most overrated conference that seems to be in the tournament, and that's the ACC conference. I believe they had the most teams in the conference at 9. And the Niners, including Wake Forest, who had a play-in game. So we're including them. And eight out of the nine teams lost in the first weekend. So are they, did the committee overrate them?
Yeah, majority of them lost in the first and second round. The only person that is still continuing right now is North Carolina.
The only person that made out the first weekend is keeps on chucking. Yeah. Right past Kentucky.
Yeah. Is North Carolina.
North Carolina. So they seem to be the only legit ACC team. But, I mean, nine ACC teams and eight out of nine losing the first weekend.
Let's be really honest, all right? Mm-hmm. We did expect Duke to kind of We did.
We had no idea that South Carolina was going to come out. Actually, and in fact, we had no idea that the SEC was going to show out the way they did, because you had South Carolina, you had Florida. I mean, these teams, if they didn't meet, maybe you're talking about meeting in the Final Four if they have to meet in the same bracket for the Elite Eight. So, and the SEC showed out. The ACC, not so much. I know you guys want to be the old Big East, but you can't.
Notre Dame actually shocked me too a little bit. So, you know.
Yeah, I know. You had them going far, man. That was impressive. I had them losing to Northwestern. That's all. I also had Northwestern beating Gonzaga, which they only lost by six. I'll put that out there. It's important to say.
I really don't have no care for this because I don't think the people of committees ever get all the picks right. I think that some of these schools really just made it based on name. And I think there's a lot of schools in smaller conferences that are still Division I that could have made it to this tournament, and they just didn't pick them because no one, quote unquote, really knows them.
Strength of schedule is not.
Yeah, it's strength.
Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead before I say anything.
You know what? I kind of do somewhat agree with strength, but with those teams that have the records, because you know that lately everyone's saying, you know, bring teams on based on records. So if you have one of those dominant records, no matter what, if you're in Division One, you're in Division One, you're playing the teams that you're playing. But, you know, some of these teams is all about money. And
absolutely.
Here's my thing. Gonzaga won 31 this season, and they said that their strength of schedule wasn't as good as it could have been, and people were worried about if you're going to get a number one seat. And worried about them in the conference, in the tournament, I should say, including me, because I had them losing to Northwestern. And it was very possible if the goaltending call was called. It was very possible. Offensive interference call. But they've made it to the Final Four and showed that they're capable. And Wichita State did this a couple of years back. And we're just seeing that maybe strength of schedule isn't all that it's cracked up to be. It's something, but it isn't everything. Because if you look at North Carolina and Duke's strength of schedule, because they play in the ACC, but we realize that the ACC is trash this year. So how strong is your schedule really when you see that the ACC is actually garbage because one out of the nine got out of the first weekend of the tournament? So now to me that says what you thought was a strength of schedule isn't, and what you thought was a strong strength of schedule isn't as strong as you once thought to me, because ACC is trash. I'm sorry. Now let's talk about the Cinderellas of this tournament. It has to be South Carolina. Now,
clearly,
I'm going South Carolina, North Carolina, final, man.
Yeah,
they gonna play for Myrtle Beach. Whoever wins Myrtle Beach is part of their state now. That would be nice, man.
I see it. I'm not gonna count Gonzaga out because that was one of the teams I wanted to put in the Final Four.
Listen, we're not talking about what you want. We're talking about what you had. All right. You had them losing to Notre Dame, okay?
Okay. Off of South Carolina's defense and the way I saw them last game beat an Oregon team.
Listen, don't forget. No, not Oregon. You mean Florida.
No. Yeah, Florida. You're right. Yeah.
Let's remember. Let's talk about Hall of Fame coaching. South Carolina, the Gamecocks have Frank Martin. So let's remember. They might have the better coaching. They look like they're more hungry, and they have the defense.
Let's be honest. Both coaches have a great program. They've been coaching.
We're not talking about great program. We're talking about great coaching, man. We're talking about Frank Martin, who always brings underachieving teams and schools to the tournament. Well, look what he did in Kansas State. Gonzaga's coach has a history of flopping in the tournament. I wasn't going
to
pick
Gonzaga. He has yet to make the Final Four, though. Listen, this is his first opportunity, though.
Listen, I have yet, just like Villanova, I put Gonzaga, Villanova, Georgetown, some other teams that aren't in my head right now for me to mention. Those three teams I put in, never trust them. Villanova proved me wrong last year. And what did they do to Justin this year? They told him to never trust them. All right? Gonzaga has proved me wrong this year, and I guarantee next year they're going to go back to
We're not talking about right now.
And right now, I'm still never trusting them. They got to win. They got to win the whole thing, Villanova did.
You got NC versus SC.
You know it.
Carolina versus South Carolina.
You know it. I got Roy Williams versus...
on the bandwagon?
And I'm going...
I got Roy Williams versus Frank Martin. What bandwagon? I had UNC was in my fight. I had them losing to Duke.
The opposite.
No, I'm talking about South Carolina.
Oh, I'm not on the bandwagon. I'm disrespecting what they're doing.
I'm going Gonzaga, Oregon.
What?
Because I think Oregon is going to shock some people.
How much more people can they shot? They have to have run out of magic.
Man. I don't think so.
They're missing their star big man. So. I don't understand how they got here. They're missing their star big man.
I don't understand how they got here either. But I do not think they have run out of their
magic. After watching that Kentucky UNC game, UNC definitely is going to the final, and I got them playing Gonzaga. I think the magic of South Carolina runs out.
So what if they just overworked themselves in that Kentucky game? And then Oregon just
got a whole week off, brother.
Oregon just comes out and shocks the world.
Got a whole week off, brother. Well, listen,
but your hype gonna run down in that week.
Listen, I love it, because we're gonna find out next week.
We're gonna find out
who's right, who's wrong, all right? Mm-hmm. All right.
Moving on. We're gonna switch it up. A big switch up, actually. And we're gonna go to golf. And we're gonna talk about this guy, Tiger Woods. With the Masters approaching, the Masters starts on April 6th. Mm-hmm. He's saying that he wants to play in the Masters. He's now 41, and he wants to get back physically, quote unquote. That's what he said. He wants to get back physically. He's always had he's had a lot of back problems and knee problems since the incident. We're just gonna leave it at that.
No, listen. He's had. I'm not gonna throw the whole incident.
Nah, we're throwing it in there.
We could throw it in there, but remember, he did win the last major he won, which was what, in 08 at the U.S. Open. He did win on a broken kneecap. Was that? That was before the accident.
Exactly. But we're gonna call it the incident. Okay. Oh,
sorry. The incident, which involved an accident.
Incident slash accident.
I'm just saying he had knee issues before the incident.
But he still won, right? But all of a sudden, the incident happened.
Good point.
And he can't win nothing.
Good point.
But I think, in my opinion, I think Tiger Woods should just have a seat.
It's time for him to give it up. Time for the senior PGA?
Here's my thing. Here's why I say that. I understand he wants to be known as the greatest golfer of all time, right? He wants to catch Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, whoever else. But I don't think it's going to happen. Since the incident, it's just been downhill, man. And he needs to realize that he's just not that guy anymore. As a transcending figure, I think he's done enough to say that, yo, I can sit down and be done with this.
Yeah, I mean, he's still arguably the best golfer we've seen, even if he doesn't catch the major.
He made an entire culture of people, black people, start watching golf.
I wouldn't even say black people, I'd say everyone. Everyone in general. Everyone, yeah. The ratings that golf has when he's in it, whether he's playing well or not, it's still amazing.
This is true.
Now here's my thing, Akeem. I'll keep it real with you. In my notes, I did write down, maybe he should retire. All right? I wrote that down.
That's what I'm saying. So, I think he should.
But after hearing your statement, you know, golf, it's golf. You know, you got Nicholson playing.
Are you trying to say golf is not difficult?
No, I'm just simply saying that you can play into, you know, 50s, maybe late 60s. It's golf. It's a friendly.
If you're healthy.
Listen.
Okay, I agree with you.
Eventually, you got to join the CGPGA.
I agree with you. He hasn't played in 17 months. You know, that's 522 days. You know what, Tiger Man? I'm sorry, man. If you listen to this, maybe you should take a back seat, man. Be an analyst or something. I don't know what to tell you, man.
Tiger, nah, bro, can't be an analyst. I would love.
You're too boring for that.
I would love to see you come back and win a PGA major, one or two, something, man. But I don't know. Every year, I hope, and every year, you don't even make it to the second part of the weekend, man.
That's what I'm saying too.
And it's done. And you know, a lot of it is the incident, and I think that just proves how crucial it is with family life, your wife, all that to be going strong. It's his fault he messed it up. I'm not gonna say it's not, but I mean, like, you really gotta have that part of your life secure when you gotta go and depend on yourself, because this is an individual sport. You can't rely on your teammates to pick you up. You gotta go there and perform. So if you don't have your outside life, your wife, your children, all that stuff together, that just proves what happens. And what happens in the public eye makes it worse. Now, as I said before, he hasn't won a major since 08. Augusta is his favorite golf course to play. He has the most majors at that golf course. He has four. All right. I know he has four also at the PGA Championship, but the PGA Championship changes locations every year. The Masters stays at Augusta every year. So I know he loves that course, and I know that's why it's very close to him. I know he won his first tournament there in 97. Mm-hmm. So it's very close to his heart. He likes to play there. I hope he gets in. I honestly hope I can't say that he needs to go retire. I just want him to play and hopefully get a miracle. Listen, but the senior PGA, they might not be calling, bro, but you in the Rolodex. And they flipping through, and they getting to W real soon, brother. So, yeah. Part of it was incident, but part of it was something Stephen A. said, which I knew before, was that after his father passed, he started training to become a Marine. And he was running miles in these horrible boots, and that messed up his knee even more. And with the amount of torque he puts on his knee when he does his swing, it was downhill from there. He's had a lot of back surgeries, a lot of knee surgeries. His mental mates kind of be there, but physically, I don't know if his body holds up.
Listen, I would love for Tiger Woods to come back and get another major, but I just don't see it happening. Like you said, it's too much on his body. He may be there mentally.
Maybe.
I don't think it's personally a maybe.
Personally, too, he needs to lose some weight, man. He needs to lose. Look at, you know, Federer. He lost weight.
It's true. Remember,
but that's a
Kobe lost weight.
That's a different pounding on the body.
Remember, I mean, Tiger was really the first golfer
be in the weight room, like
exactly hitting the weights hard. That was his advantage came.
Yeah,
and then he just was a stone cold killer on Sunday. He put on that red Nike polo, and it's over. Now them black pants and that red Nike polo and that cap. Yo, just pack up your nines and go home.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, right now, it's not good for his knees. And, you know, that's where...
It might not be, but, you know, if he can't... The other thing you have to look at is if he can't put the amount of torque he needs to put on his knees, maybe he needs to have the upper body strength in order to kind of compensate. You got to think of it like that.
Fair enough. But then
he's compensating and he's injuring his back. So it's like... It's not like you don't have the money, bro. It's not like you don't have the money.
Tiger, I know mentally you're focused, but physically, you just got to sit down, boy. Sit in that rocking chair. It's time, man. It's time.
All right, guys. Next topic, baseball. USA won the World Baseball Classics.
Okay. Guys, that person, huffing and puffing is Akeem.
Right.
Okay. He didn't want to talk about this topic to begin with.
Clear enough. They beat Puerto Rico in the championship 8-0. But yet, I'm sorry. They dominated Puerto Rico. 8-0. All facets of the game.
Don't lose our Puerto Rican crowd, all right?
Listen, well, you better be careful how you speak about Puerto Rico before Yadier Molina comes over here and tell you to apologize, all right?
What you think, Akeem? Well, all right, what you think, Brandon?
Thanks.
I have some conflicting feelings about this. I mean, this is the first time that USA has actually won in four attempts. The first year was 06. That was the first World Baseball Classic. 2009, 2013, and they won 2017. So, I mean, it's impressive there. I'm not going to belittle it and say it's like a AAA kind of season competition. You just did
by saying that, though.
I'm not, because he didn't let me finish. Because they're all professional baseball players playing in this, so I think it's bigger than that, bigger than when baseball was in the Olympics, because these are professional players, as I said before. But I don't think it's the best of the best, one. Two, these guys haven't really been playing all year. You come off for off season, you have to go to training camp even earlier, prepare yourself, and you come in, you're not really fresh. It's a nice feat, I guess. The first time that they even finished in the top three, except for 1 year, I think they finished third, I think in 2009. So I guess that's impressive, but congrats, USA.
Yay.
That's it for baseball, guys?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yep.
Go Yankees.
Should have been shorter.
Go Yankees, all right? I know we want to talk about World Series.
It's not baseball season yet.
Yeah.
We don't got to say go Yankees.
I'm sorry. Preseason is full effect. Go Yankees.
Because who really talks about preseason? Who talks about spring training?
I'm talking about it.
Why?
Because I can.
But we don't have any topics about spring
Bronx
training.
Bronx Bombers, let's go!
Tell me something the Yankees did in spring training. Don't worry, I'll wait.
They won games.
Don't worry, I'll
that's
wait.
That's all I got. Oh, that's all I gotta say.
You don't
that's
know.
That's all I gotta say.
You don't.
They won games, bro. They won games. That is based on facts. They won games.
Facts.
All right, back to a topic we talked about last weekend, which was the resting of healthy players in the NBA, star players, especially for nationally televised games. Now, it would appear that maybe Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, maybe might have been listening to our podcast. I hope he is. We're entertaining, I think, guys. Yeah?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Good, good, good. He actually wrote a letter to the owners of the league saying that we need to be careful about resting healthy star players. It's going to affect our bottom line. It's going to affect our fan base. And it's going to just affect our product. Now, I thought that was great. I thought that's what needed to happen, needed to take a stand. And he also said that in the governor's meeting next month that they were going to talk about this because I think they need to implement something to cut this up. Now, they interviewed LeBron the next day after the game. Probably was a loss because they have a losing record for the month of March. Go Toronto.
He's not even from Toronto. Okay.
Drake is, okay? 6'6". All right, listen.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
We're not going to throw Drake in this.
Yeah.
Listen. I just don't want to see LeBron.
Keep light-skinned people out of here.
Read the statement.
I don't want to see LeBron in the finals for a seventh time, all right?
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
You want to see DeMar DeRozan in the finals?
That's
going to be boring.
Maybe I misspoke. Maybe I want to see John Wall. That's okay.
Okay, I can.
You guys like John Wall?
But not DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the Celtics.
Did you even hear me say Boston?
No one even brought up a Celtic flavor.
What? Did you hear me say Isaiah Thomas?
Go ahead.
I didn't say anything. Talk about the guy who Avery Bradley's your guy.
Nobody wants to see Al Horford in the finals.
No. I don't want to see Olynyk in the finals either. All right. So they interviewed LeBron, and of course he had something to say. He thought that this was basically because of him. He thinks that he's just the biggest star in the NBA, which he arguably might be.
Oh, okay.
He's the best player in the league.
We're not talking about the best player. We're talking about popular, okay? We're not talking about best player. If it was the best player, I have no argument, all right? Arguably one of the most popular players in the league. And he thinks that all this huff and puff with Adam Silver now sending it and all the sports networks, including our little podcast here, started talking about it because he was the one that sought out. And not the entire big three of Cleveland. We didn't see that. And he also said that when Greg Popovich was doing it, that no one was complaining, which is a false narrative because that's not true. Because I was complaining about it, and so was everybody I know on ESPN. They were complaining about it too. Because it's ridiculous.
I was complaining about it too.
Thank you, Akeem. Or Rico. Or whatever. Thank you.
you only said yourself. Like, it's not three people here.
You gotta get your chance to talk. I'm bringing in the topic.
I wanted to say it while it was relevant.
All
right. Okay? Oh,
thank you. I appreciate that. All right, I had an issue when Greg Popovich was doing it. I had an issue when he was on a road trip. He's sending home Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili in a plane. He sent them home on another charter plane.
Fly Southwest.
In the middle of a road trip, he sends them home. Like, it's ridiculous. I always thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was even more ridiculous when you send them home during a nationally televised game to affect your product. And LeBron's talking about, oh, they're owners. They don't know what they're talking about. They're not involved in team activities. We're over here trying to win a ring. Yes, you're over here trying to win a ring, and that might be your number one. But you know what else you're trying to do? You're trying to get paid. And if you don't have the fans watching your product, you're not going to get paid, all right? Remember how you get your checks written by your owners. From the fans putting money into the sport that they love to watch. They love to watch the stars. Play your national televised games. Stop resting. I'm done. Drop the mic.
Preach.
There you go.
Well, go ahead, Justin. Go ahead.
Okay. I agree with LeBron. The owners are really not into the teams. All they do is worry about checks and, for me, money to profit. To keep it real with you, this whole incident, I agree with Adam Silver in terms of coaches and players need to work out something where they could stop resting the top players.
Let me ask you this. You have an issue that Adam Silver sent the memo to the owners? Do you have an issue that he went that far up? He went to the top? Because I think if you send a memo to the coaches, they're gonna do this. And throw it in the garbage.
And I can answer you because the same thing for the owners as well.
No, because the coaches have a job. All right? They have a job. Their job is to win championships, especially if you have a championship team with a championship window. They got to go win a championship, especially if you're coaching LeBron James. Hello, Ty Lue.
Here's my thing. When are they resting games? Not on the road? When did the Cavs rest? Against the Clippers. Mm-hmm. When did Golden State rest? Against the Spurs mm-hmm. in San Antonio. So why does
two Saturday night nationally televised games on ABC understood. At 8:30? Go ahead.
But as an owner, when I receive that letter and I look at the games that the coach rest my players, why do I have to worry about profits in that sense when, you know, I'm worried about my stadium in that case?
Because the league.
Exactly, the revenue.
Revenue sharing. They share
it. I understand
even
that.
Even as the away team, you're still getting some money.
I know, that's I understand.
One.
But
two, it's not all about the money that's coming into that game, it's about the fan experience. Now, we discussed this last week, and none of us planned to watch that game last week. Again, was it Cavs versus the Clippers?
Correct. Because
none of us, yeah. That was a game I would have loved to have watched. But once I got that alert from Bleacher Report saying that the big three, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, who just came back from a knee injury, played one game, all three of them are resting. I watched I watched Scandal on Demand. I'm done. I wasn't tuning into that game to look at what? To watch Richard Jefferson?
Here's my thing.
Even though he is banging this shit.
I didn't mind the resting of LeBron, but Kyrie and Love could have played that game.
I mind 23, 24 years old?
No, I'm saying they could have rested.
He said they could have played. I mind them resting LeBron. I'm going to be honest. You're resting. You don't have to rest LeBron games if you don't play him 37 minutes a game. Yes or no? He's playing the heavy minutes, and then is Ty Lue saying he needs rest, or is LeBron saying he needs rest?
We don't know.
Well, listen, something needs to be done. That's all I gotta say.
I'm gonna have to side with Brandon. Listen, LeBron, I'm saying this to you, LeBron. You're getting very, very arrogant. Yes, you are the best player in the NBA.
Ooh, preach.
But what do you mean there's nothing that the league could do about it just because you're resting? And no, they were not making a situation about it just because you rested.
They've been making situations about it.
But I'm no longer going to get mad at this thing because I realized, I sat back and I thought about it, and I was like, it's a chess match. It's a chess match between coaches. Mm-hmm. That's why they're sitting their big players in these nationally televised games, because they know they're only going to play the good teams. You're not going to play the Knicks on a nationally televised game and sit LeBron James.
Maybe if it's Christmas.
Maybe if it's Christmas. Cleveland's not playing the Knicks on Christmas. That's for sure. Cleveland's not playing the Knicks. The Knicks are going to play like the Bulls or somebody on Christmas.
They'll play the Lakers.
Or the Lakers, yeah. But you're trying to tell me you can't go on a road game and play the Nets and say, okay, I'm going to rest my big three. No one would make a fuss if they did that. If they said Kyrie, Kevin, LeBron, sit, it's the Nets. They're the worst team in the league. If the Clippers went to Minnesota and said, CP3, Blake, DeAndre, y'all don't got to play today.
I disagree with the Timberwolves.
All right, maybe the Timberwolves is a bad choice.
I do want to see them play first.
Yeah, agreed.
Because the Timberwolves are young, right?
And they got
prospects. They got some pieces, man.
Okay, but not because they're winning.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I understand.
If they go play the Pelicans, you just want to see them because AD and DeMarcus is there.
No, I don't need them to see them play the Pelicans.
Agreed.
I don't care if AD and DeMarcus are there.
Yeah. If they go play the Kings, you don't care if they sit. But when they're playing big, good teams, that's when you care, right? It's a chess match. These coaches are saying, all right, I'm going to see these teams in the playoffs probably. I'm not going to put all my best pieces all the time. Why? Why would I do that? Wait till the playoffs, and then I could devise different strategies against them, and I'll be good.
You know, that brings up a good point, because I'm about to bring up something about Ty Lue. Now, Ty Lue said that he's not showing his full defense. This is going to be off topic from the resting of the players, obviously. But he said that he's not showing his hand when they played Washington Wizards and they lost big time in Cleveland. He's not going to be showing his hand with defensive sets because these are teams that he might be seeing in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And he doesn't want them to prepare.
Chess match.
I think it's stupid.
It is stupid.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
It is stupid. Because I figured out that's what they're doing.
The Cavaliers are 29th in defense since the All-Star game. They had a losing record the month of February. No, the month of January. Fixed that in February. And we're back in... Now we're back in March of 2017. Another losing record, all right? They are currently, right now, getting smacked by San Antonio. Everyone's playing. Listen. I don't know what's going on with Cleveland and the rest, but Ty Lue, you don't really look like you have the answers, and I'm not sure if this team is going to be the team that makes it through the East.
I'm not worried one bit.
I'm not worried either.
They're clearly light years. I'm not willing
to go on a limb and say
I'm willing to go on a limb, Justin Defoe, to say they're light years above everyone else. I'm not worried about the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm not willing to say that they are not going to come out of the East. I'm not willing to say that yet. But what I will say is that if they lose the number one spot and they have to go through Washington and then go through the Celtics, I'm not sure if they make it only because... Well, let me finish. Only reason I say that is because I think that Washington series is going to be a 7-game series. And maybe they go into that Boston series and they're tired. And Boston is very stingy on the defensive end. Agreed? That's one thing they do. Is they're stingy. Maybe they go in there and they're tired, and maybe LeBron, at 32 now, playing 37 minutes a game, maybe he can't put this on his shoulders this year, man. Is that not a possibility?
Not a possibility. Didn't you weeks ago said the only person on the Celtics team that does anything is Isaiah Thomas?
Okay, all right. So
who is everybody else? So who they play for?
So let's say the Celtics don't win and Toronto comes out.
For the Celtics.
Let's say the Celtics don't win and Toronto comes out and they have to meet Toronto in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals. A series that was very entertaining last year between the two of them. You don't think there's a possibility after playing the Wizards and they go through Toronto that they might have an issue?
No.
Well, you have faith. I don't have faith. I don't think there's no such thing as turning the switch on and saying, hey, we're going to be good now. We're going to play. There's no such thing. No team has ever done that.
I hear you. But
the Lakers tried to do that with Shaq when they had GP and Karl Malone and Kobe. They tried to do that. And what happened? They don't have rings. Karl Malone does not have a ring. GP follows Shaq to Miami to go get a ring.
Okay, but tell me, where did they lose, though?
They lost in the finals. Okay, the finals. Agree. But that team also had four Hall of Famers on it. You see four Hall of Famers on Cleveland?
Here's my thing. The Raptors still have to acclimate Kyle Lowry. We don't know what's going to happen there. And with the additions of the players they have. So I'm not even considering the Raptors.
Not worried about that. He's a point guard. He's distribution first, scoring second. He's not going to have a problem finding people.
Is Kyle Lowry even top 10 in assists?
Yes. He's not going to have an issue trying to find people in the passing lanes. Ibaka is a stretch four. PJ Tucker is a 3-and-D guy. You act like he got to find it. They're going to be open. He's going to get to the lane like he always does and dish out.
We'll see.
All right. Well, side note. Okay.
That went completely off topic.
I was just... You're the one that started about Ty Lue, so I
didn't think I would spark something up.
Though. I mean, because it pissed me off when he's in the conference talking about, we don't want to show our hand defensively. Like, what are you talking about, man? You're about to get fired too, man. This nonsense you're talking, man.
All right, we're going to stick with the NBA, and we're going to stick with LeBron James. But it's that time again for good old LeVar Ball. Good old LeVar Ball.
Is that 3 weeks in a row now?
3 weeks in a row. Talking more trash. 15 minutes of fame is not done, people. Mm. Now.
What happened to your son, LeVar? They took that out, bro.
Listen, but he's still balling.
Yeah, agreed.
Who did they lose to?
Kentucky.
Didn't my boy Fox drop 39 on LeVar? What's his guy's name? Lonzo? On Lonzo's head?
So what?
Top 39 on his head, but
Lonzo's still nice, though. He's still about to be number one.
39.
Anyway.
39.
LeVar.
He gonna guard up?
Was talking crazy again.
Maybe his father could play some defense for him, man.
I forgot who was interviewing him, but.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares, really? But he was asked about LeBron James' kids, and he said LeBron James' kids is never gonna live up to the hype set by their father. I think.
Wait, oh, don't forget. Then he said, look at Jordan's kids. He said, look at Shaq's kids.
Yeah, long story short,
whoa. Long story short. Because Shaq's oldest
son is ranked one.
He's not Shaq.
But he's still ranked one.
He said, one. Magic Johnson's kids.
Long story short, he said, no great players' kids are going to be great or have been great ever. So, LeBron clearly took offense to that.
He takes offense to everything now.
Yes, he does. And he said, don't bring my family, don't bring my kid's name, keep them out your mouth, homie.
It's personal now. He said father to father, dad to dad. Let's go.
It's personal. Keep them out your mouth, big homie. So, LeVar Ball, being only LeVar Ball, went on First Take, and he said, LeBron ain't gonna do nothing. Mm. I was talking my opinion. Mm. He ain't gonna do nothing. And if you got a problem, come see me. But I think I'm gonna side with LeBron on this. Because the man's oldest son is 12. Why, LeVar, why are you bringing up his kids? And of all people, LeBron James. Like, I understand he's the best player in the league. But the man's oldest son is 12. Let the man, if he was like 16 or something playing, your son's in high school or whatever, fine, bring his name up then. But he's 12! You can't go against the man kids when he's 12, when they're only 12. So I'm going to just take LeBron's side on that, and that's all I got to say about that.
Do I even have to answer this question?
Yes, no. Yes you do.
You want to pass or jump in?
Here's my thing. I really don't necessarily care about this LeBall, like Ball versus LeBron. I'll side with Ball. Simply like this. It was an opinion. He was asked the question. It wasn't like he brought it up. He was asked. Obviously, LeBron's kids have made the news where, you know, the 12-year-old is, that his boys are doing good and, you know, the junior leagues and things like of that sort. And there's comparisons not to necessarily LeBron in terms of passing and scoring. He has a better shot from what I'm hearing, things of that sort. Duke, you know, recently offered him a scholarship, a lifetime scholarship. So, you know, a question was 12. Agreed. I agree. But it was an opinion. And it doesn't take away the job that Ball did. And we obviously know what he's in it for. All right? His brand. And I'll leave it at that.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Before you start, Brandon.
Go ahead.
Was LeVar asked about LeBron's kid specifically? Or kids in general that are kids of great players.
I think it was what he asked.
Listen.
I think it was personal. Like they asked the question in even, terms of yeah.
It don't even matter. Agreed. It don't even matter because out of everyone that he mentioned, we see that Magic's children they're grown. They're not balling. We saw Michael Jordan's sons. They're not balling. Okay, I understand if you have an opinion on that. LeBron James' kids, as Akeem said, his oldest son is 12. He has yet to prove or show that he is going to be as great as LeBron or better than LeBron. So how could you even be talking about him at that age? That's one. Two, a father comes to you and say, stop talking about my children, and you talk about, you can come see me. It's ridiculous. You sound childish. You're here for the publicity alone. LeBron, I'm siding with you, but I'm going to give you some advice. You're talking to a guy whose kids haven't even made the NBA yet. They're not stars. We don't even know if they're going to be stars in the NBA.
One is going to make the NBA. We don't know about the other two.
We know one is going to make the NBA. We don't know if he's going to be a star in the NBA. But right now, currently, the three of them are not in the NBA. You're talking to somebody whose kids are not even in the NBA. You got to just let that go, man. You got to just let him talk. Because all you're going to do is increase that hype machine.
Exactly.
And you know what? We saw what it was. We saw Lonzo Ball versus Kentucky. We saw, 10 points, 6 boards to Fox dropping 39 on his head, bro. He couldn't guard him. So instead of talking about LeBron's son, take your son back from UCLA. Take him to, 30 minutes from your house? Take him to the backyard that you got the hoop there and teach him some damn defense, all right? Okay? And LeBron will worry about his sons on his time. Cool.
So, guys, we're changing the topic. We're going to NFL. I just want to know is it surprising that Adrian Peterson and Colin Kaepernick has not made an NFL roster?
Nope. Mm. It's not.
For neither.
A little surprising for Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
AP, not surprising at all. I'm going to just say this. AP is asking for too much money right now. He's not going to get it. The contracts given out for running backs aren't what AP is looking for. And he's an aging running back at that too, mm-hmm. who's coming off injuries. He's not going to get the money that he wants.
I mean, he's used to seeing that 100 mil.
Yeah, but
he ain't that guy anymore.
He's not, exactly. Agreed. So he can't be asking for that money. So he's just going to have to sit and play this waiting game, and I think he's ultimately going to lose. And he's going to have to take less money.
I think you make a good point. I'm still surprised by it because you're not surprised because he's asking for too much money. I'm surprised because I think he is asking for too much money. I'm surprised he doesn't realize who he is. I know you're Adrian Peterson. I know you're one of the greatest running backs ever. But, you know, Father Time comes for everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. And I don't know if he's come for you yet, but you're close. He's on his way. And it's like, you can go to a team. You can't tell me that he can't take a decent salary cut and go to the Patriots and be a focal point in their running game. Right? Or Broncos. These are teams that need running backs, and it's like you're not gonna make what you were making your last contract, but you can make decent money and go get a ring. Like, what are you still worried about money for? Like, you're not the best running back in the game right now. You need to understand that. And that's just what it is.
And you know what? I think he does think he's still the best running back in
that. That might be an issue. I think he's gonna find out sooner or later that he's not the guy. Colin Kaepernick, I'm on the fence because I'm not surprised he's being blackballed, bro.
Guys, I'm not surprised he's being blackballed either.
I'm not surprised at all. And you know his play, even though we talked about it a couple of episodes ago, with 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions when he finally was the starter for the 49ers last year, is great. But he hasn't really put up the numbers to really, you know, avoid this blackballing that's going on with him with teams. Because I don't understand. If he's not going to be a starter, he's definitely a capable backup quarterback for all 32 teams in the league right now. So it's interesting to me. I just think teams don't want to touch him. So he's going to look like what B.J. Armstrong with the Bulls back in the 90s, man.
Why bring that unnecessary drama to your team?
Is it drama, though?
It has potential to be. So why take that risk?
I mean, he stopped kneeling towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but you know the media is still going to focus on him. And if he's not going to be your starter, especially if he's a backup, why bring that media attention to your team?
Are you sure that's the only reason why they don't want to sign him? Because they're afraid of the publicity he's going to bring?
I think that's 85% of why they're not signing
him. The 15?
He's just not what he was before.
You don't think it has anything to do with the racial divide?
I think that falls into the media.
You think so? Mm. I think it's two different things. I think that when he did it, when he was kneeling, and it became a big publicity thing. Not a publicity. That's not even a big media thing, and it got a lot of publicity. It wasn't a publicity stunt. So let me just differentiate the two. It got a lot of publicity, but it wasn't a publicity stunt. There's a real reason why he was doing it. And you heard a lot of GMs who didn't have enough, balls. I'm going to just go out there and say it. Didn't have enough balls to put their name on what they were saying. They only said it anonymously, and they said that, I'll never bring this guy in. It's ridiculous. He's disrespectful. All this nonsense, all this rhetoric, racist rhetoric, I would say, for some of them. And I think that plays a major role why he's being blackballed. That's all I'm going to say. And I think that if he was able to perform at the level he was when he went to the Super Bowl, I think he'd be signed right now. But because he's not, all that stuff comes in through the back door and it weighs him down trying to get through the front door of a team.
I'm definitely surprised about Colin Kaepernick. Right now, it's 32 teams in the NFL. Are you saying that Colin Kaepernick is not better than half the quarterbacks y'all have on y'all team? Let's be serious.
Especially if he's a backup QB, bro.
Let's be serious. Let's be serious. The Adrian Peterson ordeal, I think he still got it. Right now, currently 16th all-time running. Personally, do I think he deserved the money he's asking for? Hell no. I'm sorry, bro. Take your cut and knock down some of that record. I definitely want to see you top five all time in yards.
It's another thing that AP forgets is that he's literally played five games in the last two seasons, man.
For me, you know, that's less wear and tear on the body. I personally think he can give someone a good season.
You could look at it that way, or you could look at it as this guy is definitely injury prone now exactly. Since he's so old.
But,
you know, glass half full, glass half empty, whatever.
Here's my thing, you know.
I'm gonna be optimistic, Justin.
No, agreed. But, you know, you come on a team where you could be the possible backup and, like, a switch out. Like, Atlanta had their running back situation where they switched out.
I know he doesn't want to be the backup, and I can understand him not wanting to be a backup. I get that. I don't think he's there yet. But he's not supposed to be making
$8 million a year or more. I'm sorry.
I don't know if he thinks that he's like Derek Johnson or Bell on the Steelers, but bro, talk to Kobe. He'll let you know how to age with grace, man. All right? Call him up. He'll talk to you. All right. Listen. Our last topic here. Is it? No. One more after this. NBA topics. Back. Are we just going to become an NBA podcast? Are we going to compete with The Jump?
We should, right?
No. We're a sports podcast. We're going to talk about everything. That's why we talked about Tiger earlier, man. Damn it.
Shout out to Tiger.
Retire, bro. Senior PGA, okay? Devin Booker dropped 70 on the Celtics Friday, man. 70 points, all right? Now, before we get into what I want to talk about, Let me just ask you guys.
I'm ready for that one too.
I'm gonna go with a little surprise. Big deal, little deal, no deal. 70 points, Devin Booker on the road.
Little deal,
big deal.
You don't have to. Let me just. I'm gonna say. Damn, what am I gonna say? I'm gonna go with big deal.
So 70. Can I hear why y'all two say?
Nah, you guys talk off.
No.
You know what? I give you why it's a big deal.
Okay.
All right. 70. He is the youngest player to drop 70 points. His second season in the NBA to drop 70 points. That's like Jordan-like numbers right there, people.
All right, bring it back.
One game is Jordan-like.
No. I'm just saying he had
a Jordan-esque one game.
Okay, yes,
one
game. Right? And two, added to the 70 points. Sorry, Brandon. You know, he had 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. For me, 24 out of 26 free throws, yes.
I'm gonna just go with this. I'm gonna just say it. First of all, did it on the road. That's pretty impressive.
In Boston.
That's impressive. With a team that's supposed to be a defensive juggernaut. Now, the other thing is that we haven't seen someone touch 70 plus since Kobe dropped 81 in 06. We haven't seen someone at least get to 70 since 94 with David Robinson. So we're talking about numbers, yo. You don't pick up the newspaper every day or once a week, once a month, once a year and see. We're talking about time that's passing where you see these are decades. The decades that have passed before you see numbers like this on the court. So that's why I'm going to say big deal. Now, I want to bring it down in between big deal and little deal. So I want to say somewhat big deal because you can't drop 70 and don't get the W, bro. You got to get the W. I'm sorry. Little deal?
Y'all done?
Yeah, we done. I got it as a little deal.
It's a little, I agree with everything you guys are saying. It's a fantastic feat. Fine, you dropped 70. Very rare. Cool. But like Brandon just said, you didn't get the win, bro. You lost. And the game wasn't close the entire game. Your team was fouling just so you could get to the free throw line and score more points. So you're really only dropped.
He was trying to bring him back. He was trying to.
Yes.
Was he?
He was.
Yes.
He was. All right. Okay. Cool. Let's get into
hot topic.
Since we see a 70 over here by Devin Booker, let's get into our top five NBA scoring outputs of all time, man. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Order and reason.
Starting with five or starting with one? Come on, the mic's hot, bro.
I'll start with one.
Okay, I mean, I'm going to start with five. I'm counting down for five.
Hold up, your top five?
My top five, I'm counting going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 like the New Year's Bowl.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1
You ain't got no order. You ain't got no order. I'm going to go.
Okay.
And I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
Number one, Kobe Bean Bryant. This boy. 81 points.
This boy keep watching my notes, man.
Nah, we just got similar notes, bro.
You right.
It's just Kobe Bryant. It's 81. Enough said. Number one. Number two, 63 from Michael Jordan, the GOAT in the playoffs. I'ma let you slide on that, Mike. It was an L, but it's 63 in the playoffs. I still respect it. Number three.
Did you photocopy my notes, guy?
I did not.
Great
minds think alike, bro.
Did you go to Staples, bro?
Great minds think alike.
All right, agreed.
Number three, David Robinson, 71. I'm giving him number three because he was in the middle of a scoring race. He was going against Shaq for the scoring title, and he dropped 71 on the last game of the season. That's a bad man right there. Number four, we just had to put this guy in. Wilt Chamberlain, 100 points against the Knicks. It's the all-time record. Got to put him in there, number four. And number five, I went a different route. I'm going with Wilt again. But I'm going with Wilt because he dropped 70-plus points four times in one season.
All right. I like that list. I'm counting down from five, how you're supposed to do it, all right? Number five, Kobe. Did I interrupt you while you were doing your thing? No, thank you. Number five, Kobe Bean Bryant, 60 points, April 3rd, 2016, Lakers 101, Jazz 96. At the ripe age of 37 years old, he is the oldest player ever to score 60 in an NBA game. That was his seventh 60-point game of his career, his last game ever. Number five, baby, you made it. Number four. Now, David Thompson, you would have made this list instead of this guy, but you didn't win. And you got to win to get in, brother. So I went with David Robinson, 71 points, April 24th, 1994. Spurs 112, Clippers 97. Now, David Robinson, you made the list. David Thompson scored 73. You scored 71. But because you won, I put you in. You were the first person to score 70-plus points in like 30 years. I like that. Well, and get the win, of course. I like that.
Number, and the scoring title.
You mentioned that during your list. Thank you. Wilt Chamberlain, number three, 100 points, March 2nd, 1952, Philadelphia Warriors. Yeah, we're talking 1952, the Philadelphia Warriors. 169, the New York Knicks, 147. We're 62? I have 52 here, man. Whatever.
Okay, we're going to look it up.
We're going to put the corrections in later. The Knicks always losing. Number two, the only guy to not win and to still get in, Michael Jordan, 63 points in a playoff game, April 20th, 1986. He lost to the Celtics by four. He did everything he could to win that game in the Boston Garden on the road. This 63 points in the playoff stands as the most points scored in a playoff game ever. Still stands since 86, man. So we're talking about records over here. Jordan, you had to make the list, bro. I threw you in. I like that. All right? Number one. Kobe Bean Bryant is going to grace this list twice. 81-point game, January 22nd, 2006. Lakers 22, Raptors 104 in the Staples Center. Now, listen. This is back in AIM days. One of my boys from high school... John Mike aimed me and said Kobe dropped 81. I blocked him immediately because I'm like, why are you even here lying to me? Stop it. All right? Nobody ever saw we thought we were going to see numbers like this. The second highest point total ever in the league. In 2006, modern NBA, we didn't think anyone was going to be dropping points like that. It was an amazing feat. The Lakers were down by 20. He came back, brought them back single-handedly. The guy is amazing. They're still playing reruns of that game every year on NBA TV. This amazing game. Number one on the spot, Kobe Bean Bryant, my guy. All right. We can third all time in scoring NBA list. Let's do it.
I'm a Kobe fan too. All
right. Vino! Justin, Black Mamba!
You know, it's funny. Interestingly enough, they show majority of games from past or present, so you get the opportunity to see it on NBA TV.
Stop it, bro. That 81 gets played a lot.
Very true. All right? So.
Why are you trying to cover Kobe right now?
Because he's not a Kobe fan.
I'm gonna follow Brandon right now. Number five, Devin Booker 70 points.
What? What?
I'm basing this off of what I've seen. I'm basing off what I've seen.
You should have started with that.
I was about to tell Keith play the outro music. We were done, bro. off what I've seen.
I apologize, okay, guys. Right. Off what I've I'm what going off what I've seen.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Five. Devin Booker.
Okay.
All right. All right. I'm keeping it real.
Boy, almost unplugged this mic here, boy.
Now, four for me. David Robinson, 1994. Okay. I was sitting on the couch with my dad, and that was...
You were 6 years old. You remember that game?
No, I'm just basing it, you know, for a little memory.
What do you see?
But
he barely saw that. Well, he saw it, he didn't comprehend it.
Right, I didn't saw right. Replay and my dad was raving about it.
All
right,
go ahead.
Number three, Kobe's impressive 60-point game. Last game season against the Utah Jazz.
Kobe made your list twice?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Simply, world is ending tonight. Oh, my gosh.
I have to base this off what I seen. It was impressive for an aging Kobe Bryant to put up 60. Yes, I know this is last.
Vino, fine wine, baby.
Thank you.
Remember
right?
that.
I got to base it off of that.
Okay.
Obviously, two... They show on NBA TV here and there, but you don't really get to see it. I guess I have to put Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
They don't show that game.
It happened in 1962. I understand.
No one has footage of that game.
Agreed. How that guy make it on your list that you say what you see?
I just have to put it top five because 100 points is very impressive.
If I did a list like that, Kobe would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on my list, bro.
Agreed.
Okay, let's not forget that game he had more points.
You say that based on facts.
Let's not forget that game against Dallas. He had more points in the third quarter than the entire Mavericks team. Agreed. Right? 63-62, right?
Agreed.
He would have, whoop. Jordan would have made my list once when he dropped 69. Whoop. And rest of it would have been Kobe.
And obviously, won Kobe's 81 points.
Talk about it.
Enough
said.
To be losing a game, to be down 20, and just catch fire and finish with 81, and you get the victory. I got to give you props there, man. Like you guys, Jordan's 63 was impressive. I left him out the five. I was basing a little bit on what games I've seen.
As well as Will Chamberlain 100 has just got to touch it.
Got to be top five.
I understand. Listen, we're running a little bit long, so we will save our last topic, which was MVP discussions for next week. It's between Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Everybody have an issue with that?
Nope.
Because LeBron's not winning games right now, so he got to go. I'm sorry.
And Kawhi lost a couple games, too.
And Kawhi lost to the Blazers, so we got to go. Yeah. He's out. All right? But, yeah. So, man, we had a good episode this today, guys, no?
Yeah.
It was fun.
Listen, I think we got to do more of those top five things, man. That was kind of fun. Kobe! Anyway, guys. Kobe, come back. Yo, Kobe, before I even do this outro, Kobe, yo, listen, the beard is looking smooth, bro. You're looking in shape. That blue suit you wore to Shaq's statue unveiling, looking sharp. Boy. You're looking sharp, bro.
I like. We're Kobe fans. They get it. All
right,
okay. We got the point.
All right. Anyway, listen, thank you for listening. I hope you've subscribed to iTunes. I hope you tell other sports fans you know to subscribe to us. We're funny, man. Let them listen. We got good opinions, good facts. We do research. So tell them to subscribe to, like our page on Facebook, new Instagram page, like it there. Twitter not yet, working on it. Follow that when it comes out. Thank you for listening again. And we'll see y'all next week, man.
We out!